following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Brian Fancher of KLMJ in Hampton and Seth Boyes with the Dickinson County News. Brian, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Thanks, Senator. Wanted to ask your thoughts or concerns about the coronavirus. We understand that the White House is readying a budget request, an emergency budget request for you folks.
I haven't reviewed the budget requests, but I think that if there's not money available to do the prevention stuff we've been doing or whatever else needs to be done, I think it's a legitimate request and I would look favorably on it based on what you have told me. So I'm assuming a lot of things. But it's not something that you play around with when you're dealing with something that's on the move as much as the virus is. So maybe that answers your question then. We'll go to Seth.
All right. You and Senator Ernst recently co-wrote a letter urging the IRS to pay some of the biofuel tax credits for the 2018-2019 production. So any idea how much that's expected to give back to farmers? And if you talk a little bit about kind of why that's a necessary piece of the puzzle for biofuels.
I can only speak for one plant in southwest Iowa, and I won't name the plant. But I was told without passing the tax credit, as we did by Christmas, it would have been the difference between a $5 million loss or a $5 million profit. So it was a $10 million swing. But I think a more appropriate answer to your question would be this. Why, now that we've passed this, isn't the tax credits being applied the way we intended? And I think it's all bureaucracy and red tape. But the question is, we did this before Christmas. Why isn't this money getting to the refineries? And I suppose it's partly within certification by EPA, and then finally what the IRS does to do amended tax returns from various refineries. And so what we did is we didn't have it for 2018 and 2019, and we finally got it done for 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. So what we're talking about is making sure that the tax credits for 18 and 19 get back to the refineries. And I don't have an answer to that because that's why we wrote the letter. And in a sense, by writing the letter, we were complaining because it was taking so long. Brian.
Senator, can you bring folks up to date on the latest with the prescription drug pricing legislation? Anything new to report there?
We're making great progress getting figures from the Congressional Budget Office on the savings in the bill, and that's very important for us to get more co-sponsors. These are kind of preliminary figures, but the Congressional Budget Office says when they get final figures, they won't deviate from what we're doing. Reduce government spending for Medicare and Medicaid by $80 billion or more. Reduce patient out-of-pocket spending for Part D of Medicare by around $50 billion. And reduce premiums for Part D beneficiaries by about $1 billion. So that's what we're trying to accomplish. I think your question is probably more one of process, and we made great strides with what the president said in the State of the Union message that he liked. He's been working with Senator Grassley. He used my name, and he wants a bill put on his desk, and he said he would sign it. That's presumably the bill I'm working on. We still have to work out differences with the House of Representatives, And then I have to get more Republican co-sponsors. I've got practically every Democrat on our side, as far as I know, but don't have... And we just had Ernst saying she was supporting it for the first time. So we're making progress there. Last week we had McSally of Arizona sign up as a sponsor. So is Seth the next person?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, Seth.
Thank you. Going back to the renewable fuels, obviously, we've got E15 year-round at this point, and of course, the next bill is to make good on that 15 billion gallon blending. Just in general, do you see these goals as helping or hurting a free market in the state and nationwide?
Well, there's no doubt that that you can legitimately say that the biodiesel tax credit, the wind tax credit, the what we're doing on ethanol with RFS, is having the government make some impact upon energy in the United States. And maybe with fracking and exporting of oil, if we'd known about that 30 years ago, we would have never had it. But once you start down the road of government help, you continue it until it's a mature industry, as with next year, there won't be any more wind energy tax credit or solar tax credit. We ended the tax credit for ethanol from grain way back 6 or 7 years ago. The FS is still around. We still have some tax credits for cellulosic ethanol. But we did it at a time when we thought we were going to be importing all of our oil. If we had known about exporting oil today and getting more oil out of the ground and natural gas out of the ground through a process called fracking, obviously we wouldn't be having any ethanol or biodiesel or wind or anything like that. Brian?
Senator, I know you've started your annual tour of the 99 counties around the state, 40th. Year going and doing this, and I know you've told us in the past how important it is, but what are you hearing from people in your stops so far?
Okay, I had 12 Q&As in 12 different counties. I actually had 13 or 14 meetings, but only 12 of them I'll count as town meetings, and I let my audience set the agenda, and so I have 87 more counties to go. I usually start in January, but I didn't start until February because of impeachment. And pharmaceutical drug costs, infrastructure, trade, the general farm economy, immigration. People want to know about the impeachment wrap-up. And I always get questions about how come you guys can't get along and we don't have more bipartisanship. Now, that's not everything that came up. But those things came up in almost every meeting I had. Seth, you're the last question.
Okay. Sticking a little bit with that impeachment, now that it's over, from your perspective, one, are you kind of satisfied with the outcome? And two, do you see it setting any precedents for any future impeachments decades or centuries down the road?
I hope it sets the precedent that the next time the House of Representatives impeaches, they have a stronger case to bring to the Senate because they brought a very weak case. So I don't think it, I don't want to set a precedent, and I don't think it will. In regard to the first place, I obviously, as you know, voted not guilty. So the Chief Justice pronounced acquittal. And from that standpoint, I guess I looked at three other impeachments. Johnson, after the Civil War, he violated certain laws of Congress. Nixon, who didn't have a trial because he resigned, was covering up for a crime that he knew about, the invasion by Republicans of Democratic headquarters, which I think was a stupid thing to do, but they did it, and he was impeached for that and then resigned. But he committed a crime, and then Clinton lied before the grand jury, which is a felony. When they sent over the articles of impeachment for Trump, they had no crime that was committed. So I think that when the Constitution says you can be impeached for treason, bribery, high crimes, and misdemeanors, and they didn't find one of those that they could charge him with, I think it'd be just like if you don't, if somebody's brought up for murder and the prosecution don't prove that he did the murder, he's going to get off. And so the president got off.
Thank you, Brian and Seth, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.